Hear me okay? He hadn't unmuted it yet. I'm going to holler real loud. This is all I got right here. So if you can't hear me, I apologize. Oh, hey, all right. Now I'm not going to scream so loud. So if you are just born today or in the last little bit, you can get up and go to Children's Church. So if you were just born, go ahead and crawl out to Children's Church. And if you're all the way through sixth grade, you can go ahead and get up. So ready? Break. Go ahead. There went two-thirds of the congregation. All right. That's a good problem, not a bad problem. So breakfast was running a little late this morning, so we got started a little late. So if you have your outline, I'm going to skip point number 5, okay? So if you look at your outline, you can scratch out point number 5, because I will not be going over point number 5. And some of you got the joke, some of you are going, what in the world is everybody laughing for? And if you look at the outline, there is no point 5. But if there was, I'm going to skip it. If y'all will open up your Bibles to John chapter 4, we're going to spend our whole time this morning in this chapter, John chapter 4. It's a very familiar scripture for all of us, I'm sure. And we're going to take it just a couple of scriptures at a time, so if you'll just kind of keep your outline in it maybe, or keep your finger in it, or whatever you want to do so you don't lose your place. But Jesus and his disciples, they're walking, and they get hungry and thirsty. And so his disciples go into town to get something to eat, and Jesus stops at the well. And that's where we're going to pick up the story, in verse 7. It says, "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" And so we're going to stop and look at those three verses just to start off, just to kind of give you a little background on what's going on. Number one, she says, "How is it that you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan, for some water?" If y'all don't know what a Samaritan is, it's a half-Gentile and half-Jew. And they were looked down upon by the Jews. If a Jew walked by a Samaritan, they'd put their nose in the air and keep walking. They were beneath them. They weren't as good as them. You didn't talk to them. You sure didn't ask them for water or something to eat. Okay? The other thing about this lady that we're going to find out later in the story is she's had 5 husbands, and now she's living with another man. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but if you couldn't get it right after the 3rd one, you might just want to stop. But she didn't. So she's been married 5 times. She's living with another man. So in society back then, she wasn't exactly the most upstanding citizen in the community. So you have somebody who's not the most upstanding citizen, who is a Samaritan, somebody that's already looked down upon, and yet Jesus says, "Hey, give me a drink." But when she came up to the well, did she have anything in her jar? Or was it empty? Yes, it was empty. She wouldn't be coming to the well if there was already something in it. Okay? Nobody? Everybody? Got it? Right? You come to a well when your jug is empty. And so what I want to point out to you about this lady is that she's an empty vessel. She's got nothing. She's been married 5 times. She's living with another man. She's a Samaritan. She's got nothing. She's empty. And literally, her water jug is empty. She's just an empty vessel. How many of us in here before we came to know Christ were empty vessels? Or if you don't know Christ, you're still an empty vessel. And I saw like half the hands go up, so like everybody should be doing this. Let's try it again. If you were or still are an empty vessel, raise your hand. There we go. We got some folks with broke arms. That's all right. I understand. It happens. So we all started out an empty vessel, and somewhere along the way, something happened. And what happens to this lady is Jesus says, "Give me a drink." And she says, "Hang on just a second. You talking to me? Are you sure you're talking to me? Do you not know who I am?" And so on that note, Mr. Burt has a little video clip he's going to show us real quick, we hope. We know how technology works here at Christ Community. That's good. So, yeah, that's good. That's my favorite part of that movie. That's what that lady was saying. Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? They call me a Samaritan woman. That's what she was saying to Jesus. Who in the world do you think you are talking to me, asking me for a drink? Do you not know you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan? So now do we have the background? Everybody understand what's going on? Let's continue on in the story. Jump down to verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Do you hear the skepticism in her voice? You hear what she's saying? Jesus says, look, I'll offer you living water. I'm going to give you something that you can't get from this well. I'm going to give you living water. And she says, hang on, who are you talking to? You ain't talking to me. You talking to somebody else. Well, you better get your mind right, man. You better talk to somebody else. What kind of medicine you on? You must be on something if you're talking to me. Talking about you're going to give me some living water. You better go on somewhere. Is that what y'all heard in the story? Because that's what she said if it was 2014. So Jesus gives her an answer. Look in verse 13. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And let's just stop there and look at that. Jesus does what only Jesus can do. She says, are you sure you're talking to me? Remember, I'm a Samaritan. I've had five husbands. I'm living with another man. Are you sure you're talking to me? And Jesus responds as only he can, because he's the only one that can offer it. And he offers her grace. He says, I'll give you living water that not only will help you now, but you'll never be thirsty again. Matter of fact, not only will you never be thirsty again, but this water is going to become a well within you, and it's just going to overflow and overflow and overflow if you'll accept this water from me. He offers her grace. The same grace that he offers us today through his blood that he sacrificed on the cross. He offers us that same grace. Remember, everybody said, I either was or I am an empty vessel. And somewhere along the way, Jesus offered you grace. For those of you who are still an empty vessel, Jesus is offering you grace right now. And you might be sitting there saying the same thing she said. Do you not know who I am? Do you not know what I've done? My response would be, do you not know what I've done? But my parents are here today, they might tell you. So I'm not going to ask them that question. So that was a rhetorical question. But we've all done things, right? We've all made mistakes. We've all been there. We've done that. Some of us made mistakes this morning. Some of us made mistakes 5 minutes ago. Some of us made a mistake just now. If you're a Mississippi State fan, you've been making a mistake your whole life. That was for Mr. Gary, Brother Joel. You're welcome. Love you guys. Hotty toddy. Go Rebels. I will say, though, good job, Mississippi State, good job. Oh, that was for you, too. Let's pray through now. I need some grace after seeing that shirt. Whew. No, good job, both teams. What a great day in Mississippi, right? And let's give Big John a shout out. Michigan actually won a game last night. So, Big John, if you're listening to this message on the podcast, go Michigan. Good job. It's nice for them to win a game every once in a while. Let's get back to what really matters, and that's the grace that Jesus offers to us. Look down in verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. So what does she do? He offers her the grace. She accepts his grace. We call that salvation. So this lady, her whole life has been changed in about 6 verses. Her whole life has been flipped upside down in about 6 verses. And so my question for you is very simply this, is that where it stops? We come to the well, we realize we're an empty vessel. All of us realize we're an empty vessel. And we come to the well, he offers us the grace, we accept the grace, we accept the salvation. And for a lot of us, that's kind of where we stop. We draw the line there and say, you know, I'll go to church for the rest of my life and that's good enough. Some of us may not even go to church. And I'm not saying you have to go to church to be saved. Please don't. Let's not get on that conversation. That's a whole other conversation. But it sure helps. But that's not where it stops. And what we're about to find out in the story is Jesus is going to lay out the steps very clearly. that from here on out, this is what's going to happen, and this is what you should do. So let's keep right on going in verse 16. As soon as she accepts salvation, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." As soon as she accepts Christ and his salvation, he starts opening her eyes to things that she might not even have known were wrong. He says, "Go call your husband," knowing what the answer was. And she says, "I don't have a husband." And he says, "That's right, you've had five. And now you're living with somebody else that's not your husband." So what happens when you accept Christ? He begins to open your eyes and show you things in your life that you need to change. So when you drink of that living water, drinking that water leads directly to change. And as you change, you draw closer to him in your relationship with him. And the closer you get in your relationship with him, the more you change. And the more you change, the closer you get in your relationship with him. You see where I'm going with this? We can keep going on and on and on. Does it ever end? Does that process ever end? I see a couple of heads. It never ends. It's a process that keeps going and going and going, where you change and the Lord says, "All right, now let's talk about this." And then you change and the Lord says, "All right, let's talk about this." So I'm going to give y'all a story. Please don't hold this against me, okay? So I had a student come in my office Friday, and he did something to a young lady that made me want to, I'm not going to say kill him because that would be wrong in church, but okay, moving on. So it made me very angry when he came in my office. And so I actually stood out in the hallway, and my leg was shaking, my arms were shaking. He shouldn't have done it, ever. Girl ended up in the hospital, I'll just put it like that. And so I was standing out there shaking, and one of my faculty came up to me, and they said, "You're about to go in there and talk to him, aren't you?" I said, "I don't know if talk is the word for what I'm about to do to this boy." And she said, "Let's pray." And right there in the hallway, in the middle of the hallway, we prayed. And I calmed down like that much. And I went in, and I turned the air conditioner on high, and I shut the door. And we have window units, so they're very loud. I shut the door, and I said, "Miss Coffey, who is my secretary," I said, "if you can hear me, will you just shut the office door, lock it, don't let anybody in for a few minutes?" She said, "Yes, sir, no problem." And then I proceeded to let this young man have it for everything he was worth, everything his mom and dad were worth, everything his cousins, aunts, and uncles were worth. I mean, chewed him up, spit him out, then put him back in and chewed him up a little bit more and spit him out again. And when we got done with that, you know, I had my little time where I said, "Whew." And it just, you know how it kind of hits you sometimes. I'm not going to say there's this prophetic voice that I hear is the heavens part and I hear, but it just kind of hits you all of a sudden. Did you help that young man today? Did you build into his life? Or did you bring him even further down than he already was? And so that's a part of the relationship with God that he's working on with me, is when I get angry, not wanting to kill somebody. For some of you, it's different. It's different things for all of us. For her, it was, "Hey, you need to do something different. Five husbands and you're living with another guy, you need to do something different." We never see in this story if she leaves that man or not. So does that mean when you accept Christ that you're going to change right then? Or is it a process? Man, it's over time. I was like Big John. I used to cuss every other word that came out of my mouth when I was in high school. But now I don't anymore. Why? Was it something that happened overnight? Oh, no. It definitely wasn't. I stopped everywhere but the basketball court. And then when I got on the basketball court, it just seemed to come out. Especially when somebody elbowed me in the face or something like that. It always just came out. But then I got that under control. And then the Lord moved on to something else. So what I'm telling you is, guys, when you drink the living water, Jesus is going to change your life. And it's not for the bad, it's for the good. But there's something else that happens when you drink that living water. Jump down to verse 23. Jesus says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So the first thing he tells her, number one, I'm going to change your life, what we just talked about. And number two, the closer you get to me, the more you're going to worship me. The more you're going to glorify my name and praise my name. The more you're not going to come to church and sit there and clap when the band is done playing. And I'm not saying that's bad, but what I'm saying is he's saying that you are going to worship more and more and more the closer you get to me. Does that mean you have to stand up and raise your hands? No, it doesn't. You can sit there and close your eyes and worship the Lord. You can sit there with your eyes open and worship the Lord. You can lift your hands up and worship the Lord. But this is what he says. He says, you're going to worship me in spirit and truth. So very simple question. How's your worship been lately? You been worshiping in spirit and truth? Or have you been worshiping in passing? Thank you, Lord, for the words to that song. Amen. Moving on. Or have you really been worshiping? Have you really been getting down and focusing on God and glorifying his name? The more you worship, the closer you get. The more you worship, the closer you get. The less you worship, the further away you get. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But Jesus says two things. Number one, I'm going to change your life. And number two, you're going to begin to worship me like never before. And when your life begins to change and you begin to worship God, guess what happens to the people around you? They notice that. They notice that change. They see that something is different. So you started an empty vessel. Somebody offered you grace. You accepted the grace from Christ. You drank the living water, worship and glorify his name. And then you're going to share that living water. Look down in verse 29. This is the lady running into the town. Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Jump over to verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. You worship, you get closer, and then you share that living water. Because guess what? What did Jesus say about that water? It would become a what? A well springing up within you. In other words, you can't contain it. So just imagine there's a little faucet on your heart right here. And the closer you draw to Christ, you open that faucet up and it just starts pouring out. And it fills this cup and it fills this cup and it fills this cup. And then all of a sudden everybody around you is filled. And it's all because you shared that living water with them. But notice what it also said in there. It didn't say that because of what she said they came to know Christ. It very clearly says they went back to the woman and said, it's not what you said, it's what he said. So what's our job as Christians? Is it to go over to everybody and say, you know, you're a horrible, nasty sinner. You're a drunk. You're on drugs. You've been married 97 times. I actually work with a guy who's been married 7 times. And he told me the other day that now he's wanting to get with somebody else. I said, dude, you just need to stop. Need to stop. Is that our job? To point out everybody's wrongdoing? What did they say? It's because of what he said that they came to know him. So folks, what we do is we share that living water, and then Jesus does the rest. He does the rest. We share it. He does the rest. And all of this happens. Everything we just talked about happens, going from being empty, which some of you are, to accepting the grace of Christ, drinking that water, to worshiping and glorifying his name and drawing closer to him in that relationship and sharing that water with other people. It all happens because of one thing, and that's because somewhere along the way, you filled your cup. So I want you to jump back to verse 7. Go all the way back to verse 7. And in verse 7, Jesus makes a statement that's not what it seems. Jesus says to the Samaritan lady, give me a drink. Who needed a drink that day? Jesus or the lady? The Samaritan woman needed a drink that day, not Jesus. So when Jesus said, "Give me a drink," he was really saying, "Can I give you a drink?" And he's saying the same thing to each and every person in this room right now. Let me offer you a drink of this living water. Are you empty? Are you broken? Are you down to the bottom? Are you not as close to me as you used to be? Has circumstances in life caused you to back off of your worship, to back off of your reading, to back off of your prayer? Have all these things caused you to, maybe your cup goes a little bit and a little bit and a little bit less empty? The other day at school, I went in my office, locked the door, and turned the lights out and just put my head on the table. And I just said, "God, you're going to have to fill my cup because it is empty." Empty. It happens to all of us. Before they sing this song is actually based on the scripture we just read. I want to read you just a few of the lyrics. Listen as I read. It says, "And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fill. So leave it all behind and come to the well." And at the end of that song, she starts naming some things that can cause your cup to run dry. Your pursuit of perfection, your fear of rejection, your temporary pleasures, all your earthly treasures, dried up empty religion, rusty chains of addiction, all the guilt that weighs you down. I'm willing to bet I probably hit everybody in this room with one of those. Probably everybody was hit with one of those that is in this song. And guys, this song is very clear. The scripture is very clear. Jesus is very clear. If you come to the well, he will fill you up. Now I'm going to ask if y'all will bow your heads and just listen to the song, or look at screen, look at the words, just however the Lord leads you.